Okay, the children could be dismissed at this time. Since we're mixing things up, why don't we stand while the reading of this morning's text in honor of the Lord's Word. Chapter 4, Book of Galatians, beginning with verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become as I am. For I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. But you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Let's pray. Lord, again, as we continue through your word, Lord, we ask you give us your heart, your understanding. We ask, Lord, that personally you would communicate your truth to us, Lord. And Lord, we ask you plant your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. In Jesus' name, you can be seated. As Paul continues through the book of Galatians, I'd like to qualify first the title of the sermon. You know, a shot of zeal. I'm not talking about, you know, one little glass full of undiluted liquor. I'm talking about an hypodermic injection, a shot of zeal. You know, the Bible tells us that God's word prospers in the thing which God sets out for it to accomplish. And, you know, we're here to receive what God has for us this morning. Paul, continuing to talk about freedom, his intent is to restore the Galatians back into their proper place with Christ Jesus. You know, he begins in this passage talking about their backsliding. You know, the Bible tells us that in the end times there's going to be a great apostasy. It's predicted, it's prophesied in the scripture that the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. Paul, to the book of the Thessalonians, said that he referred to it before the Antichrist is revealed. There's going to be this falling away, this departure of faith, a notable apostasy, a notable falling away from the faith by many. You know, it's a viable. We're all susceptible to backslide, you know, and therefore we should have our guard up. We should, you know, take precautions against backsliding. Paul, talking to the Galatians, brings this up. He says, you know, why would you return to bondage? You know, this threat of relapse that we all are susceptible to. Paul questions them, why would you want to return to the bondage in which Christ has literally freed you from? You know, in a literal sense, he's talking about the law and legalism, you know, the Judaizers. Christ delivered you from the old patterns, the old forms and ceremonies, the old religiosity, you know, how you tried to touch and contact God. And now he's invited you into a personal relationship with him. Why would you want to go back? Paul asks. You know, Barnes, in his notes, not only the law and legalism, you know, would they be susceptible to falling back into, and which they did because of the Judaizers. But he likens this to, you know, old patterns and, you know, false gods and idolatry and our flesh and our sinful habits and patterns in which we've been delivered from. He, in his notes, says, fettered their faculties, controlled their powers, bound their imagination, commands their time and property, made them slaves, servants to the pagan gods or the Jewish rites. There's no difference. The service of sinners to their passions and appetites. Only the gospel can set us free. He said, why would you return to that which Christ has set you free? Paul, in this passage, really gives some indicators. Here's something we could look for or see that, if I'm in a backslidden condition, if I'm falling away from the Lord, these things hold true in my life. One is, he says, that, you know, he said, you know, when I came there to Galatia and I, you know, ministered to you, you were so loving. You were receiving me with such love. He said, you treated me just like Jesus would, like an angel. You would have plucked out your own eyes. Paul had an eye condition ministering. There was such a loving connection relationship between us. But now, he says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? One of the indicators of backsliding is the difference in association with godly people. You can hang with them when you're walking with the Lord. But when you're backslidden, you know, you cut the association off. All of a sudden, a godly person becomes an enemy because you're not in the light. Paul, giving these indicators, you know, you used to treat me with such love, but now as an enemy. He goes on describing how the false teachers, the Judaizers, came in verse 17, they zealously court you. They courted you. You're courting evil. When flirting with backsliding, turning from God, it's not a, you know, little, you know, we in our minds want to rationalize, I'm just, you know, creating a little space between me and the Lord. We all do it. We're all, you know, but dust. God surely knows me. My frame's but dust. My spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. We give all our rationales. But the way God looks at backsliding, you know, in Jeremiah, he says that to forsake the Lord, it's an evil and a bitter thing. God doesn't see it that way. But we see it that way, don't we? We rationalize. Paul here says, you're courting, you know, you're courting with evil. You know, it's no good, he says. You know, connecting with someone or something is harmful to your spiritual life. He says, you know, they came in, they courted you, they got zeal, you know, enthusiasm, personality, and yet it's no good. It's not for good. It's not to bring you closer to God, but to turn you away. He said it's evil. It's dangerous. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, backsliding can be very dangerous. Remember the story Jesus tells of the man that, you know, was delivered from an unclean spirit. The Bible says the unclean spirit left him. Then the man swept and cleaned out his life. The unclean spirit went into dry places and he got seven more spirits. And he came back. He seen that the life was in order, an easy entrance. And he said he brought back seven spirits with him. Jesus said, the last situation, the last state of the man was worse than the first. It could be very dangerous to backslide. Very dangerous. And Peter says the same thing. He said that you would be better off not knowing the truth having known it and then turning away from it. For the last state, your condition will be worse than the first. You know, it's dangerous to backslide. It's not, you know, some thing we wink at. It's a serious, viable condition that we all face and we're all susceptible to. Kind of like a flu. You know, we enter flu season. You know, we can all get the flu. None of us are immune to the flu. And so is turning from the Lord. You know, it takes devotion on our part to stay close to Him. Paul says the Judaizers, the false teachers, they promote no good. It's harmful. It's dangerous. It's detrimental for your spiritual state. Therefore, we should take positive precautions against backsliding. Paul here gives us a few. He said, you know, be as I am, for I am as you are. It's kind of like, huh? Be as I am, for I am as you are. Paul was talking literally about, hey, I'm a Jew. I was a Jew. I was a Pharisee. I did the same things you're doing. You know, I used to do drugs. You know, I used to live in darkness. I used to deny Christ. I used to rationalize my sin. I was too comfortable in my sin, my darkness. Selfish ambition. Paul says, you know, be as I am. He says that in another place. He says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, or follow me as I follow Christ. You know, godly examples are a strong precaution against backsliding. If you think about godly examples, I think of Pastor Chuck. Pastor Chuck is such a role model to me. You know, and how, you know, I was deprived of my own dad being a role model to me. My grandpa was. We can connect to different role models. You know, maybe it's an uncle. Could be your dad. Thank God if it's your dad. But different role model, godly men in your life, your coach, teacher. You connect. Man, they set a good example, a good role model. They set a precaution against backsliding. Follow them. Paul says, be as I am, sold out to Christ. For me to live as Christ, Paul said, for I am as you are. You know, we're all in the same boat. We all got the same past. We're all on this planet facing Jesus Christ when we die. You know, and Paul says, be as I am. Turn your life over to Him. Walk with Him. Live your life in faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Godly examples, you know, bring a good precaution and prevention. You think about the flu. You know, are we facing flu season, the influenza? You know, should I get a flu shot? You know, I always struggle with that. Never do, but I think about it. Should I get a flu shot? You know, they say if you wash your hands a lot, you know, contact with people, wash your hands. That helps prevent, you know, contracting the flu. Get plenty of rest. Keep your immunity strong. You know, what can I do as a precaution or a preventative measure? Paul tells us godly examples. You know, he lived the new life. He, you know, the loving appeal of Paul. He says, you know, when we first met, you know, we connected. There was a loving relationship. And the same thing Jesus says to the Ephesians in the book of Revelations. He said, you have left your first love. Remember where you have fallen. Go back and do the first works. Paul says the same thing here. You know, back, we used to connect. Something's wrong. Truth is not an enemy. Truth is our friend when it comes to precaution against backsliding. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. The Son will set you free. You'll be free indeed. The truth sets you free. The Bible says in another place, Jesus saying, sanctify them, praying for the disciples. Sanctify them by your truth, for they're sanctified by your truth. You know, how set apart, living holy. His truth, man, is our friend. It's not our enemy. Paul says, are you treating me as an enemy now that I tell you the truth? But truth is, it brings freedom. It brings sanctification. Paul to Timothy wrote God's truth about God's truth. He who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He goes on to describe that truth as that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The truth of salvation, to know Christ, to go to God through Christ. He's, you know, the truth is our friend. There's more. You know, how about how God feels about my backsliding? You know, what is the truth about that? The Bible says in Romans if you're in your flesh, you cannot please God. It brings displeasure to God. In Hebrews, the Bible says that, remember, the just shall live by faith. Well, another place where Paul, or the author of Hebrews, you know, states that verse, he follows it with, but my soul will have no pleasure in him who draws back. It brings God displeasure, our backsliding. You know, the Bible teaches us about how he feels, what he thinks. It's an evil and bitter thing to forsake the Lord. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, he said that no man having put his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of God. The way God looks at backsliding is very detrimental. But truth helps bring precaution and prevention. Paul says, be as I am, for I am as you are. You to press forward, to be on the advance. The Bible tells us that. The Bible encourages us to continue on, press forward, push in to Jesus Christ. Be encouraged. Live your faith. Live it out. You know, be strong in His might, in the might of the Lord. Be on the advance, gaining steam, going forward with zeal. You know, it's like the picture is, you know, get in your car, put the pedal to the metal and rip off your rearview mirror. You know, live your faith. Go forward. Be on the advance. The Bible tells us, Paul writing to Corinthians, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Having zeal. You know, Paul said zeal is good here in this text. Having zeal, enthusiasm is very productive. It's helpful. You know, someone has wrote that the greatest spirit is enthusiasm. It's contagious. Be enthusiastic about our faith, the Bible advocates. Not only go forward beyond the advance, progress, grow, but do it with zeal. Be enthusiastic about Jesus Christ and your faith in him. The Bible talks about Christ's zeal. He was prophesied. In Isaiah, it talks about him, you know, the kingdom, the government be on his shoulder. Right there in that passage in Isaiah, the next verse says that, and by his zeal he will accomplish this. The zeal of Jesus Christ. He's cloaked with zeal, Isaiah prophesies. You remember when he was a child, 12 years old, they misplaced him. They went back, found him in the temple. Jesus said, don't you know I have to be about my Father's business? The zeal that Jesus had. He had so much zeal. He, in the Gospel of John, he said that I must do God's work while it is day. I must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. For the night is coming when no one can work. The zeal that Jesus had, we also are encouraged to have. That's how God desires us to go forward, with zeal. A shot of zeal. You know, come get our injection. The truth brings zeal, enthusiasm to us. You know, the truth that he has no pleasure in us drawing back from him. Keep you close to him. The Bible tells us many places, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. In Romans, Paul said, not lagging in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Revelations to the church of Laodicea, Jesus wrote or said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. But to have zeal, going forward with zeal. In Colossians, Paul wrote, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men." Go for it. You know, that's today's vernacular. Go for it. You know, Angel got Rocky Balboa's voice. You know. Go for it. And how to not just prevent backsliding, but to move forward, to be on the advance, to press forward. The Bible teaches us, God desires us to do it with zeal. There's a contagious benefits of living our life with zeal or enthusiasm. The Bible tells us it provokes others to do good. Paul exhibited it. We're in the book of Acts. Paul imprisoned in Caesarea for 2 years by Felix. Then Festus took over the reign as governor. Festus didn't know what to do with him. Felix, or King Agrippa, came with Bernice. And, you know, he said, "King Agrippa, help me figure out how I should charge him before I send him to Rome." So Paul's brought out before King Agrippa, and there was great pomp. They said probably at amphitheater, probably 1,000 people there or more. And Paul's there recounting when he was given permission to speak. He said, you know, he goes over his conversion, his past. And then Festus blurts out, "You're crazy. You're mad. Much learning has made you mad." But Paul wasn't shaken. He just said, "I'm not mad, as you suppose." He said, "I tell you the truth and with reason." It's very reasonable what I'm telling you about Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and he looks at King Agrippa. He says, "King Agrippa, I know you know. I know you know what the prophet said." And then King Agrippa says, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian. I came this close to becoming a Christian." Then Paul, with his zeal, said, "Hey, it's not just you that should become a Christian. It's everyone here in the amphitheater that hears my voice. I wish everyone would give their heart to Jesus Christ." Paul, exhibiting that zeal, "Be as I am, for I am as you are," he said. We come from the same place. Paul exhibited. Turn to Numbers chapter 25, back in the Old Testament. Here's another man that exhibited. Fourth book of the Bible, chapter 25. Look at verse 11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the children of Israel, because he was zealous with my zeal among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my wrath. And look in verse 13. And it shall be to him and to his descendants after him a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Countless stories in the Old Testament. Josiah exhibiting the zeal of God, tearing down the altars to false gods, burning them, breaking the chariots that were used in the worship of the sun god, tearing them, breaking them, burning them, tearing down the altars, and then acknowledged for his zeal, right zeal, not making any pact with flesh or sin, or the old patterns, the draw of the old patterns. You know, you got a sense in you that something's not satisfying you presently, and you look back. That's a sure sign that you're backsliding. You look back to fulfill you what Christ has delivered you from. Oh, man, an alarm, a flag should go up. Because that's exactly what Paul's saying. Why would you return to the beggarly elements of the world in which you've been delivered from such bondage? The freedom that Christ brought us. Paul teaches us, you know, that not only, you know, prevent, you know, the idea, you know, maintain your ground, but to go on the advance, to progress, to go forward. Let's stand to the glory of God. Let's pray. I pray, you know, it shouldn't even be a question whether or not we should get, you know, this kind of shot. Flu shot, I don't know, you know, if it's beneficial or not. But a shot of zeal, how much we need him. How much we need to be stirred up in the gifts that he's given us. How much we need to be revived in our faith. How much we need to be enthusiastic about Jesus Christ. He sustains us. How much I need it. You know, how deceitful is sin. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the truth about the danger of backsliding and how you feel about it, Lord. That you take no pleasure, your soul takes no pleasure in one that draws back. Lord, we desire to please you. We're here to bring you pleasure. And Lord, we ask that you will stir up and give us, grant us the zeal that Christ had, the zeal that Paul exhibited. Lord, how much we need you. And we turn to you. And we ask, Lord, you fill us with your Spirit. You have your way in us and through us according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.